Hey, everybody. Welcome to a very special interview as part of our coverage of this past weekend's George Tragos Luthez Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame inductions. I'm joined by Kyle Klingman, Executive Director of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum in Waterloo, Iowa. Kyle, we're recording this the Thursday after the induction, so now that you've had some time to decompress, how was your weekend?
It was good. I'll tell you what, it's one of those weekends where you prepare so long and then it's gone, and now you just said it's Thursday. It's hard for me to believe that had this been last Thursday, we'd be preparing for the golf outing and the professional wrestling show tomorrow. So it goes by pretty quick, but we look at it as ongoing. This doesn't end for us. The relationships we get, the people we meet, we've already had conversations about what we can do next year. So this never ends. This is a lifestyle that we have, and we love that process.
Well, as a fan, I love it too. And so as deeply as you're involved in this, talk to me about your background and how long you've been with the museum, what your roles have been with the museum.
I've been with the museum since October of 2002 when it was in Newton, Iowa, and then, of course, it moved up to Waterloo, Iowa in 2007 and became the Dan Gable International Wrestling Institute and Museum. We had the flooding in 2008, and then I actually took a job in Minneapolis, Minnesota, for a year, and then in October of 2009, I came back in the director role. And between that time, we were the Dan Gable International Wrestling Institute Museum for about a year. Then we merged with the National Wrestling Hall of Fame in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and we are now officially the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum. So it's been an interesting evolution on how all of this has come to be. But the nice thing about it is that professional wrestling will always be a part of what we are doing. It's always our premier event that we have every single year, and I would never want to get rid of that. That was part of the stipulation in merging with the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, is that pro wrestling is going to be safe here. We're going to house the truest sense of professional wrestling that we can, and we love that part of it. It's a great part of the history, and there's a lot of people that are a little wishy-washy about it. They come in, I don't like professional wrestling too much. Then they see what we have and they buy in, and that's really rewarding for us.
I actually have an anecdote along those lines. One year I came, it might have been the first year, possibly the second. Well, anyway, it was either 2005 or 2006 while the museum was still in Newton. And I showed up before the event started, and I was sitting outside at Culver's, which was next door. And I think I was having a breakfast or something like that. And an older dad and son, so I mean if the dad was 75 and the son was 50, I would suppose that'd be about the right age range. And they just happened to be there during the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame induction weekend, but they were there to see the amateur stuff. And just in conversation with those two, the dad, oh, and pro wrestling this and pro wrestling that. And I remember back in the day of Bob Geigel, and that was back when it was real, and pro this and pro that and blah, blah, blah. And then we got inside, and Bob Geigel was there that weekend, and after the Hall of Fame inductions had taken place and some of the other festivities, and we're still milling around the museum, I found that dad and son, and I said, hey, that's Bob Geigel right over there. And this old guy who, 2 hours earlier of being all crass about professional wrestling, I swear his eyes lit up like a child, and walked over to shake his childhood hero's hand. That's from my perspective, but that's just one example of kind of the fun of this weekend.
Oh, and Eric, I mean, and I'm sure we'll get to this, but as you know, Dan Gable, the namesake of the museum, was at the Hall of Fame banquet. And I'll tell you what, professional wrestlers, they were marking out on Dan Gable. Mick Foley couldn't believe that he was talking to Dan Gable. And it was so much fun to see that happen, because I've said this so many times in interviews, and I'll keep saying it. I think professional wrestlers respect amateur wrestling, college wrestling, as much or more than college wrestlers do. They have that much respect for what collegiate wrestlers do, and it was evident again this past weekend.
Sure, and no matter the showmanship of pro wrestling, there are still a lot of pro wrestlers who come from an amateur background, and they will say, if they've said it once, if they've said it 1,000 times, that really both of those sports, amateur and, to be honest, professional wrestling, are the toughest sports around. And so that doesn't surprise me. And actually, it's funny that you say that about Dan Gable and the professional wrestlers. I noticed that Pat Miletich at the banquet after the induction was running around. He was literally chasing down some of the wrestlers before they left with a poster in one hand and a Sharpie in the other hand. I mean, it was great to see him be so humble at the same time that these pro wrestlers are being so humble given the position that they're in.
Well, and you saw it, Eric, you were at the banquet. It was pretty special to be able to see amateur wrestling with Dan Gable and a lot of the past there. You had professional wrestling and mixed martial arts to have that group of people, and you saw the picture there at the end. When is that going to happen again? You saw history there in Waterloo, Iowa, in the birthplace of the National Wrestling Alliance. Get chills thinking about it. What a great event for us to have. And those people, those 100-plus people that were there, they were a part of something historic.
It was very cool, very special. And I've been saying since then, it was a historic night. Buy the DVD when it comes out. You're helping yourself just as much as you're helping the museum. Speaking of which, you had mentioned the floods of 2008 a little bit ago. How has the museum recovered from the floods? What did you lose? Is the museum in good shape now, 3 years later?
Well, I think the best tribute I can pay is that I don't really think about it anymore, which is great. Now, if we start seeing some flooding, of course, I'm going to start thinking about it. But it was in 2008 when that happened, it was a blur. It was a real blur when all of a sudden the floodwaters came up, and I went to the Olympic trials in Las Vegas, and I came back early, and I know there was a lengthy recovery process and everything that went on. But we're blasting away. We hope it never happens again, and hoping it's something that is behind us. But it's always in the back of our mind when you see flooding in Sioux City and other parts of the nation. It comes to the forefront, but we're hoping that they've solved the problem. We won't have to deal with it again.
Sure, absolutely. Now, you also mentioned the museum. It was in Newton, and between that and some of the other things that have evolved on Hall of Fame weekend, can you kind of walk us through the evolution of the Hall of Fame induction weekend? You've added things, possibly subtracted things, to culminate into the huge weekend that it's become.
I think the two biggest evolutions that you're seeing with the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, number one is just the inclusion of Troy Peterson and Impact Pro Wrestling. They've really added a lot to the weekend and just how we've been able to promote it and his efforts. I really can't speak highly enough about what Troy Peterson does for this museum, because he puts in about 6 months of work to make this a success. He creates posters for us. He has guys go put out posters for our event. And then you know what he does at the end? He hands us over the money, for the profits from the professional wrestling show on that Friday. So we've talked a lot about that as a staff, that's extremely generous, and there really aren't that many people in this world who would do that type of thing for someone or an organization. So extremely pleased to have him involved, and he's really helped us take it to the next level. And then I think the next component that you saw this year and you're going to continually see is that mixed martial arts element. We had our first inductee with the George Tragos Award, with Pat Miletich going as a mixed martial artist, and we're going to see that grow. And we had a little seminar with Dan Hodge in the morning, and then we had some mixed martial artists perform just a little clinic in the Dan Gable Teaching Center, which I think added a lot. So we're continually fine-tuning what we do. We have a nice wrestling roundtable discussion, which Brian Hoops does from Torch Nostalgia. So that's been something that we've done, and that's part of the evolution. And then, of course, the greatest part is having that Q&A the autograph signing, where these guys are accessible, take pictures, and that's always fun for the fans.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's pull the curtain back a little bit and take a look behind the scenes at the Wrestling Museum and the induction process. Kind of walk me through the process of someone being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Who gets to nominate? Who gets to vote? Are there any specific qualifications? Walk me through that if you can.
I love the process that we have, because it's truly a process that if you get into this Hall of Fame, you have been selected by your peers. And I think that's what means the most to these guys. It's not necessarily a group of people that say, well, we need to get this guy in because he deserves this or he deserves that. It's strictly based on what the past inductees feel are the best people to go in. Now, that criteria is very strict, in that you have to be recognized, number one, as a professional in the business, and you have to have that legitimate background where you are recognized by your peers as someone who had that background and respected the business, but could also have that catch wrestling business, and that's personified by a guy like Dan Hodge or Luthez or Frank Gotch. So it's in that mold. Now, are those guys getting few and far between? Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you still had the Kurt Angles and your Shelton Benjamins and Charlie Haas and a great group there. But the true catch wrestlers, those guys are gone. And that's why we're incorporating the mixed martial arts, because they represent that catch wrestling style. Now, the difference is when you take a guy like Pat Miletich or the guys that are in mixed martial arts now, the difference is these guys can go to their back and there's not that incentive to, you know, saying, all right, the point of wrestling is to not get pinned. And
right.
In mixed martial arts, you can go to your back. We still want to recognize that element where, hey, going to your back is still the cardinal sin in wrestling, and we want to recognize that. But mixed martial arts really adds that catch element where there's submission holds, and there's that true element of I can submit you, and that's how I'm going to win the match. So as you talk about the evolution of the museum, that's going to be a big part of it, how we incorporate mixed martial arts. Now, the selection process, as we were talking about, you have all of the past inductees, all of the past living inductees. We send out a ballot. They get to choose three living and three posthumous inductees. The top choice gets 3 points. The second place vote gets 2 points. And the third place choice gets 1 point. So we send it out. We don't have any bias. There's no lobbying that we do. It's strictly behind the scenes. So it's a very fair process. And then we have a special committee that selects some of the other awards, like the Luthez Award and the Frank Gotch Award. But to get into the Hall of Fame, very tough, Eric. Very tough process.
Sounds like it should be, actually. That I think that's a great process to go through. It sounds like it eliminates a lot of the politics that could take place in other Hall of Fames and other sports or even professional wrestling as well.
Yeah, and I should mention we do have on that committee, we have some historians that we deem worthy to make that selection. Bill Murdoch, who won the Luthez Award, he's been on the committee since day one, so those guys will certainly input, and we like to have those people voting.
Sure, definitely. You mentioned that this group of people, this group of possible inductees, you're saying they're getting fewer and farther between. I believe it was Adam from WrestleView.com, who was at the museum doing interviews during the induction weekend, that said you felt that this past weekend was one of the rare times fans would get to see so many big names under one roof. Obviously, you've had esteemed inductees and guests in the past, but how did 2011 rank, in your opinion?
For my view of just the people that were there, I compare it to a year in Newton when we had Bret Hart, we had Ted DiBiase there, we had Harley Race. It was one of those years where you mentioned Culver's. All those guys were sitting at Culver's and they were staying late, and guys just couldn't believe it. Like, I can't believe all of these guys are in Newton, Iowa. Larry Hennig went in that year. I would compare it to that. I think it was one of those years where you look at the names, you look at Pat Miletich, Mick Foley, Dan Gable, Larry Hennig, Dan Hodge, Jim Ross, Jerry Briscoe. I mean, I'm just rattling these off. I'm sure I'm missing Maurice Vachon, Jim Raschke, all these guys, and you have them all in one roof. And Jim Ross even made that comment, like, you know what, guys, this is probably going to be the last time you're going to see a group like this together. And I happen to agree with him. I hope it does. It's not that way. I hope we continue to get these guys back with Terry Funk coming back. But the reality is that it's hard to get these guys a lot of times to Waterloo, Iowa, because we're not necessarily the biggest city in the world to get to. But
right.
If we can get a few of these guys to come back and get the staples to come back, I feel good about what we can do in the future.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something I've noticed, too, that for every wrestler or legend that I've seen at the museum one year, I see a different one the following year. You know, if there's a Bob Geigel there in 2006, it becomes a Bob Roop in 2007 sort of thing. And having said that, like you said, Terry Funk, and I remember Mick Foley expressed during the banquet that he wants to attend every year that he's able to from now on. How do you ensure that this museum and this weekend gets and stays on a wrestler's radar? And then I guess another sub-question would be, how important is it for the museum to have a large turnout of stars like that?
Well, it goes back to the initial question that you asked, which I thought was a really good question, and that this event isn't over for us. This is lifestyle. So it's not that the event is over and then 3 months before the event we're starting to think about it. We're thinking about 2 years from now. We're thinking about 5 years from now. We're thinking about new concepts to make this a more exciting event for next year. We've already kicked around a few things. We've had a great meeting today about what we could potentially do to not only incorporate the professional wrestlers, but incorporate the entire town so that it makes it more engaging and compelling for local people in the Waterloo or Des Moines or Cedar Rapids to come up. So we have to stay creative. We have to stay cutting edge. So it really does. And this is something that Iowa Wrestling says a lot. It really is lifestyle. So we never stop the process of what we do at this event. So it's ongoing. So that's the only way we can keep it on their radars, is to constantly have those conversations with Jerry Briscoe, who's really kind of our lead person on our Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame committee. Jerry Briscoe, Charlie Thez are also on that, but continue to keep those guys engaged so that it's never off of our radar. So that's really important to us.
Great. What's some of the feedback you've had from some of the legends? They come to visit old friends, they get to interact with fans, maybe even see a little wrestling, and certainly to support the museum. But what's some feedback that you've heard from these guys?
Feedback I've had has been great. It's funny because when we finally got Mick Foley coming here, he's like, well, I hope I'll do a good job for you guys. And I'm thinking, man, of course you're going to do a good job. I mean, it's Mick Foley coming to be our MC. So everything that I've gotten has been extremely positive from these guys, that they really enjoyed it. And I think for these guys, as much as anything, it's a reunion. To be at that table when Dory Funk Jr., when Jerry Briscoe and Jim Ross are all having a conversation, it's pretty special, especially when you think about that Dory Funk Jr., Terry Funk, wrestled Jerry Briscoe and his brother, Jack Briscoe, at least 500 times back in the old territory days. So to see that and be a part of it, it's pretty cool to see the history, and they love it. They love being around their friends, and it really is a business of relationships in professional wrestling.
Sure, and it's so special for fans, like you said earlier, like the autograph session, and at the banquet too, to be, you know, 10 feet away from people that you grew up watching and some people who are still on TV today. There was at one point where after the banquet, we were just sort of milling around, and Mick Foley and Terry Funk were talking, and Foley looks over at me and my friend Dan at one point and says, "You guys want to hear a story?" It's like, where else is that going to happen?
Oh, exactly. And I'm sure you saw that the banquet was right next to a wedding reception. And as soon as Hacksaw Jim Duggan walked out, people were going crazy. There was about 15 minutes where I kept hearing people, "Oh," and they were on the hall and they were getting their picture with Hacksaw. They couldn't believe it. We had a beauty pageant downstairs and where the banquet was. They were sneaking in to watch the banquet and the professional wrestling show. So we were having pro wrestling crashers, not wedding crashers at this one.
That's great.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I don't want to put you on the spot, but who have been some of your favorite attendees?
Favorite attendees, it comes back for me, Dan Hodge. I mean, when you get a guy like that, it's so much fun when Dan Hodge comes and he really gets the recognition he deserves. And you see what he can do, and when he put on that little 20-minute seminar and you saw his strength and you saw these guys are in MMA tapping out within about half a second because of the pressure points, that's so special to me, and he thrives off of it. To see him come in this environment and people go crazy because Dan Hodge is here. If I had to say the one guy that's just really special for us is Dan Hodge, because he crosses over everything, boxing, wrestling, professional wrestling, he has it all. So if you pin me down on one guy, and no one in the professional wrestling business is going to argue with me on that either, because Dan Hodge means a lot to a lot of people.
Yep, definitely. Do you have a wish list kind of in mind? Who would you like to see in the near future, whether it's somebody being inducted or given an award or even just attending and like I said, trying to get somebody on that radar? Do you have kind of a wish list in mind?
I do. I think a guy that I really want to see go in, just because of what he did in amateur wrestling and then what he's done in professional wrestling, he's probably my favorite professional wrestler that I watched wrestle. And then I grew up on him with the amateur, and I was a big fan of Kurt Angle, 1996 Olympic champion. Has done a lot of great things. I remember someone saying, "Hey, you got to watch this match between Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels from, I think it was WrestleMania
21.
And what's that?
WrestleMania 21. Sorry.
Yeah, 21.
That's my inner almanac coming out, sorry.
Yeah, and I like that because I didn't remember which one it was, but I remember them saying, you got to watch this match. So I went and got the DVD, I rented it, and I was absolutely – and I knew who was going to win beforehand because they told me. I was so enthralled with that match. I was like, I can't believe this. No way. They just had me completely bought into that match. So that would be so much fun to have Kurt Angle here, knowing about his – background in Olympic wrestling, being an Olympic champion, then just a great professional wrestler. And I certainly defer to you, Eric, on where he fits in the professional wrestling game. But I got to think within the last 25 years, he's got to be one of the top guys as far as athleticism and what he's brought to the sport.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. That's totally accurate. That'd be a great get, as they say. That would be a perfect choice.
And then if we go, if you want me to expand further, another guy that keeps getting brought up posthumously is Owen Hart. So we'll see if he might get the votes to go in as our posthumous candidate.
Sure, definitely. As far as professional wrestling goes, then, what is next for the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum?
Well, like I say, the next thing is probably just continuing on with our professional wrestling event for next year. I know that in Dan Gable's speech that he gave in the closing remarks, he wants to work with professional wrestling and mixed martial arts, and I thought that was very encouraging to hear from Dan that he has that vision and that foresight to want to be a part of the solution and working together and knowing that this is a product that we can all invest in. And that gets me excited, knowing that the godfather of our sport, Dan Gable, the guy that's most recognized with collegiate and Olympic wrestling, wants to work with professional wrestling, wants to work with amateur wrestling, and that he is flexible enough to know that this is an important match. So I think there can be some great things, and Jim Ross brought us some great things, and I think – as far as my thinking, I want to get Jim Ross involved in collegiate wrestling at Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, and maybe even a few major tournaments. I think he's that good.
That would be great, and I think he would love it too. I guess then, yeah. Anything else you want to mention? Give us the website for the museum. Anything else you have in mind you want to bring up?
I'll mention the website wrestlingmuseum.org, and I also want to mention with your program, Eric, you have been a rock for this museum, and when you have an Eric Nelson that's emailing you and giving you suggestions, that's an exciting part for us, because we're here because of fan support and people that want to get invested in it, and that's so exciting for us. So You talked about the process to get in. We welcome nominations. We welcome anyone wanting to give us comments. It may not be a match. Some people have said you need to get superstar Billy Graham in. That's up to the voting committee. But if you want to nominate someone, we're more than happy to put them on the form. It's just going to be up to the committee to select them. But we do appreciate if you do have some criteria or something to back up what you're saying about who goes into the inductions. But we welcome that. We really do like feedback. And Eric, you've been great and great support for our Hall of Fame.
Well, thank you very much. I don't know what it sounds like when somebody blushes over the telephone, but I appreciate it. I'm doing that right now.
Well, hey, it's just it's through this work and these interviews and people wanting to invest in us and be here year in and year out. And hey, don't think I didn't see you down with the Canadians at the IPW show yelling at him while Hacksaw was coming out to clean house. He did a great job with that 2x4.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I was like a kid in a candy store that weekend.
Well, hey, and I got to mention this real quick, Eric, is our executive director of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, Leroy Smith, who's part of the famous Smith family. He was going absolutely bonkers about Hacksaw Jim Duggan being here. He was watching videos beforehand, bringing in office staff, saying, hey, look at this video down in Stillwater, Oklahoma. And he actually got one of Hacksaw's 2x4s that we made special that was painted red. He got it autographed, and he's taking it down to Stillwater, Oklahoma. He's excited to have it. So he's playing a little air guitar on that at the end of the banquet. So we're definitely bought into what professional wrestling's doing.
There you go. That shows everybody what a good time you can have at the George Tragos Luthez Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. Kyle Klayman, Executive Director of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, Dan Gable Museum in Waterloo, Iowa. Thank you very much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Hey, it was a great time. Thanks so much, Eric.